Greatest inventions of all time. Anybody have, what do you think the greatest inventions, if you would just throw it out?
Fire.
What?
Fire.
Fire. Good one.
Toothbrush.
Dentist talking here, right? Electricity, yes.
The wheel.
The wheel. I had that one on the list too, the wheel. Penicillin is a pretty big one. The internet, yes. A few groans here. But I would argue that duct tape certainly has to be on that list, right? At least for the usefulness perspective, right? You can put things together, you can seal things, you can cloth, metal, plastic, concrete even. Although that's a little debatable. In our home, we have a patio furniture set. It's a great set. It's lasted 10 years. And we have a cover that goes over top of it. And last year, somehow, it got ripped right down the middle of it. And so, of course, got out the duct tape and some patience in a few minutes and was able to, you know, stick this thing on. And I think the duct tape's going to outlast the patio furniture. Like, what is in this stuff? But it was originally apparently created in the 40s for the military, and they would duct tape ammunition boxes, and they would keep them secure. But it's now entered pretty much every garage, every toolkit. Campers use it, you name it. People are using it. Apparently, even NASA astronauts, apparently Apollo 13, do you remember that? It was famous. Probably great advertising for duct tape, but they were able to use duct tape up in space as well. Duct tape matters because it holds things together. Paul's letter to the Colossians, we meet a young church desperately needing some spiritual duct tape to hold their lives together. They were facing pressure from all sides, pressure from local Jewish groups that wanted them to observe festivals, to observe Sabbath, circumcision, food laws. Then they had pressure from spiritual groups who were saying, look, yeah, Jesus is fine and everything, but you need to go deeper, and you need deeper wisdom that comes from beyond. And these influencers wanted people to not just simply trust in the Lord, but that was too basic, but they needed to know more. And they were the ones, the in-group, and they were going to tell people what they needed to do. Then there was rule keepers. Don't handle, don't touch, don't taste. You can't do this, you can't do that. And there was pressure from all different sides, and the Colossians were in danger of giving in to fear and anxiety and confusion and division in their ranks. All of this created pressure. And this small Christian community felt surrounded and pressured. And Paul writes them this letter from actually a Roman prison cell. And he writes them to encourage them. When Christ is moved out of the center, everything seems to fall apart. And in many ways, Christ is that duct tape that holds everything together. When it's not there, joy evaporates. Our patience wears thin. Thanksgiving turns into complaint. The Colossians were drifting, not because of a big crisis, but these little things, and they build up in their lives. This isn't a first century problem, is it? I think we all face this problem. It's a human problem. Churches, families, workplaces, we can all experience this in our lives. And most of the time, it isn't the big scandal, but a buildup of these things. And then maybe we overreact to something, do a little damage over here, a little damage over there. You know, it's little disagreements or personality crashes, unmet expectations, high expectations, and then they don't happen. It's a little bit like Christmas sometimes. Then it's socks under the Christmas tree, right? Jeez, I was expecting an NFL football package or something. Socks? Underwear? No. That was not in the sermon, by the way. That was just one of them. Holy underwear is no good, though, right? A little duct tape. Okay, Sean, stop already. Okay. Preferences. Someone has a different preference. Exhaustion. Insecurity. All of these things play into how we get off course. And it seems like we get torn, not from the outside, but we get torn in the inside. And we end up taking on this stress. And it hurts us physically too, right? Emotionally, physically, we pay the price from fear. And the world tells us and pulls us in so many different directions, telling us what matters, who we should fear, what we should chase. It just feels like we're on a hamster on a wheel. Run, 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 run. No wonder why people feel like they're torn apart. And add this to hard realities that each one of us face, broken relationships, unforgiveness, health diagnosis, grief, suffering, dark valleys. Our world, like their world in the first century, needs someone or something to hold everything together. And this is where the gospel shines through. This is where Paul tells the Colossians that even when life is falling apart, Christ is the one that holds everything together. Christ holds the world together. Because by faith, we have been transported from blindness. We've been transported from all the chasing we do, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And life and joy and patience and endurance. We literally, as Christians, have a new home address, right? It's not 17, you know, what's our address? 5 Cooks Drive? It's no longer. We have a new address. And it's great. A new center of gravity, a new identity, all because Christ is holding it all together. Christ has duct taped himself to us. Not that we can't get away. Like a kid, you see those kids with the backpack and the string? I love those things. And the kid can't get too far away. It's not so much like that. We're not left floating all alone. We're not all alone. Christ sustains us. We're not unraveling when something happens because we're a people that have hope. We're held. We're secure. We have a community around us, right? And Christ is the head of that community, the beginning and the end, the firstborn of the dead. He has overcome sin, death, and the devil. The worst this world can throw at us, Christ has overcome. And we are held secure. Christ will outlast us, the beginning and the end. God's grace is with us, and we can take up residence with Christ, take our rightful place where forgiveness is the air that we breathe, where redemption and rescue is the blueprint for this world. This is where it's going, people. I am using way too many illustrations today. I feel like I've got... Anyways. Pastor Scott Hosey, I was reading this week, and he described it beautifully, through the lens of the Chronicles of Narnia. Anybody read that book, The Chronicles of Narnia, or seen the movie? And great movie, eh? What's that? 7 books. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate that. Chronicles of Narnia, when the children, they step into the new world, and Aslan, the Christ figure, is there with them. And when they're connected to the source, the grass seems more brighter. Life just seems more crisp. The fruit that they eat just tastes so much better than it did before. Or in The Lord of the Rings, Frodo, his best buddy, Gandalf, dies, and then he's alive again, and he wakes up, and the sunlight comes through the window where darkness seemed final, is no longer. That's the kingdom that we belong to. That's the address that we now have. This is the reality, not someday, but someday in fullness, we will be there fully. Paul's prayer is that we would be strengthened, that we would be encouraged, that we would be filled with God's joy. Not that we don't go through troubles, not that we don't have diagnoses, not that we don't have family issues, tension, and difficulty, but that we'd be rooted in God's patience. We know the end, and we can live the end now, in the present. We don't need to stress so much. We don't need to be overwhelmed, and we can actually live in a spirit of thanksgiving as we share in the inheritance of the saints, that Paul calls it. And now Paul says, live in this world, in the present, held together by Christ. In a world filled with division and anxiety and conflict, Christ the King invites you to live not just as mere subjects, but as partakers in this work. Living it yourself, this way, this new life, the way of the kingdom, we aren't just subjects, but we are players, co-workers with Christ, as Christ fastens us together and we walk in reconciliation with others. We walk in forgiveness. We are patient, people of joy. It almost sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? You ever just think that? I was thinking that. I'm like, this sounds a little too good to be true. It does a little bit. And yet we are capable of being this people. We don't have to stress, right? We don't have to be fearful. It's hard, but we take little steps, knowing that we're held together and we have a community around us too. I shared a little bit about last week about reconciliation, my friend in Vancouver with his father, and it was so nice to see somebody who, you know, on opioids for 20 years, 20 years, there's no hope, 20 years of, you know, doctor-prescribed opioids, sorry, but, you know, no hope. There is hope. There is hope. Reconciliation with the Father, no longer on these terrible things. And he's moving forward in his life. Amazing. Or the humility and the gratitude of the people. We have the privilege here at the church of serving through the food bank each week. And, you know, they're on hard times, and yet there's joy and there's gratitude as they come. So grateful to be, you know, just to receive. And we have the opportunity to do that. It's just incredible. Knit and Natter. I was back here the other day for Knit and Natter. I was walking through, and all these women were making fun of me and everything. It was wonderful. And I didn't know half of them. Who are these people? This is great that the church is a place where people who may not even know the Lord or want to be part of it, yet they feel safe in a community where they can serve others, not even knowing that we're here because Christ is holding us together. Amazing. Amazing, amazing work. Or the small acts of love in your own life that it's hard to even recognize. You know, the care from family or a spouse. Things that we take for granted each day, the little things. All part of the new life that we will inherit for eternity. We get to live it now. Nelson Mandela, I'll just land the plane with this. Remember him, Nelson? And he experienced a lot of hardship in his life. And I read about him when it was really at the worst times, and that he had to be in hiding and everything, because he's part of a bit of a resistance. And Nelson, somebody, a priest, got him a place to stay, and he went into the woman, went to knock on the door, almost like an Airbnb when there wasn't Airbnbs. But anyways, this priest set it up for him, knocks on the door, and the lady says, "What are you doing here? We don't want your kind here." And I think it was not so much because of the color of his skin, because Nelson tried to keep himself as unkempt as possible because he didn't want people knowing who he was. So he came to the door and she said, what are you doing? Like, we don't want your kind here. And later she apologized. He said, if I only knew it was you, I'd have given you the best room in the house, she said. If I'd only known it's you. Friends, people come across our lives each day. We don't know who they are. Our Lord Jesus says, when you do unto the least of these, you do unto me. Christ is there. Christ is holding us all together, and we are invited to partake in this work of reconciliation. It is true, we can't control everything. We can't hold the world together. We can't hold our families together. We can barely hold ourselves together, but Christ can. Christ who created all things, Christ who sustains all things, Christ who reconciles all things, who holds your life, your story, your tomorrow. Because he holds it all together, you and I can be free to simply live the life. All praise and glory to the good God of creation. Amen.